This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Arvind Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. What would happen if the Attorney General in your state was a Libertarian? Could it reduce the war on drugs? Would your state be safer as police focused on real crimes with real victims? Would small businesses be better protected from crony capitalists, allowing for more entrepreneurship? For the second half of today's show, we have Bill Walsifer. He's Florida's first Libertarian candidate for Attorney General. He actually wrote the Kathy Jordan Medical Cannabis Act. He supports an end to the war on drugs and has pledged to use clemency to reduce nonviolent drug offenders from prison. He practices law in the state of Florida and Washington, D.C. He is currently the Region 3 representative in the Libertarian Party of Florida. His website is walsiferforag.com. That's the number 4, ag.com. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi, Arvind. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, what inspired you to run for office?
Well, I live in Tallahassee. I live in the state capital. I've always been politically active. Mm-hmm. I am an attorney, and I qualify, and I have a passion for a number of issues, some of them you just touched on, and mm-hmm. I do not expect the incumbent or the other candidates to address the issues that are important to me and I believe are important to a lot of people across the state. So I'm going to step up and do it.
And I think that the fact that you're doing that is extremely both inspiring to people who want to be able to vote for somebody that actually supports their views, and actually quite potentially beneficial even to people that have no real opinion on the war on drugs. Now, what can an attorney general do? I mean, people get really focused on the legislative, you know, state legislature and Congress, what they can do about the war on drugs, but what can the attorney general do?
Well, quite a bit. The Attorney General is a policymaker, not a lawmaker, okay. Although the Attorney General does work closely with all state officers. The Attorney General provides opinions. They're non-binding. In other words, they're not like court precedent, but they are persuasive. Mm-hmm. As new things are evolving here in Florida, such as medical marijuana laws and the challenge to same-sex marriage, there's going to be cases of first impression. Now, they'll turn to the Attorney General for legal opinions on, you know, how do we deal with this? We haven't had to deal with this before. Mm-hmm. So that's one strong position. The other is the Attorney General is the consumer advocate statewide over fraud, Medicaid fraud, obviously gang, corruption, crime. Mm-hmm. But the Attorney General also in Florida under 16.52 has an affirmative duty to hold back encroachment by the federal government upon the state.
Okay.
Yeah, so we really could take an active role and hold back some of that. It certainly is encroachment on the state of Florida by the federal government, and that's another active role that I'd like to see more active in our state attorney general and one I seek to address.
Now, let's go through some of these specific areas. Let's start with the war on drugs. What can the attorney general do there?
Well, the attorney general also sits on the clemency board, one of the four seats on the clemency board. The way clemency works in Florida, the governor must approve the clemency and two other cabinet members, whether it's to commute a sentence or reduce a sentence or a full pardon. I'm proposing a rule where the governor's approval would be deemed accepted because you can't change it. It's in our Constitution, but the clemency board can make rules. And we would like to establish a rule to release nonviolent criminals who have whose history, particularly mere possession of marijuana, is a big part of our prison here. We have about half of Florida's prisons is on par with the national average, are for nonviolent offenses.
Okay.
So one is going to be to educate the legislature on what we can and should do, and the other is to be a strong arm on that clemency board and get it done.
Now, some of the people who are going to be benefited by that are obviously the people who are wrongfully in prison, and you know their families who you know are separated from them because they're wrongfully imprisoned. What about people who have no connection to anybody in prison? How would this in any way benefit them?
Well, what I want to establish is a process where the inmates will know and they'll be notified of an opportunity to apply for clemency.
Okay.
So I hear what you're saying. If you have an advocate, it's always easier, whether you're, mm-hmm. you're dealing with a hospital or a prison. It's always better to have somebody speak for you. Mm-hmm. But that there'd be a process in place. And I actually have that somewhat outlined on my website.
Mm-hmm.
It would outline the requirements. But that would be a process. It also would generate opportunity for defense attorneys to help facilitate movement through that clemency process.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you something else the Attorney General can do. Uniquely, okay. The Attorney General can remove substances from the controlled substance list in Florida and at the U.S. level. Our U.S. attorney could do that as well. And I pledge to remove low-level THC cannabis from the controlled substance list completely, not move it down from Schedule 1 to 2 or 3, but to completely remove it.
When you say low-level THC cannabis, you're essentially talking about hemp then?
It would be hemp. that meets that definition, and we would provide a statutory definition for hemp as well.
So right now, hemp is a controlled substance for reasons beyond at least my understanding. And yeah. What you're saying is that you could actually immediately just deschedule it, just say that this is no longer a controlled substance.
That is something unique with the Attorney General. It's actually a rulemaking process again. So we initiate a rule to remove it.
Now, what kind of benefits are people going to see from that?
Oh, it'll be enormous. It'll be enormous because we have a lot of vacant farmland here in Florida. We have a need for revenue for our environment. We need environmentally friendly crops to grow. You know, we can grow industrial hemp all year long in the Sunshine State. Renew it 3 times. You don't have to rotate that crop. You can grow it right where you just harvest it from. Mm-hmm. But right now, we can import hemp, and we do, from Mexico and China and Canada, but we can't grow it. And that's just, that defies logic.
So it'll
create jobs as well.
I want to just back up there for a second. You're saying that right now in Florida, you can import hemp, but domestic farmers can't grow it?
Absolutely. That's
wow.
How it is. So you can import the raw material and make make plastics and perfumes and foods and clothing, but you can't grow it. But our neighbors in the North and South can.
That is truly just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Well, you know where this comes from the demonization of marijuana, and also
right.
when there was a device, the name escapes me, that is much like a cotton gin, it was going to take the hemp plant and shred it into, break down the cellulose mm-hmm. in the fiber so that it could be worked with. And it would have revolutionized the linen and paper industry in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. So they grouped it in with marijuana and demonized it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the other aspect of economic things related to hemp is, just to briefly go back to some of the clemency ideas, that if a lot of these clemencies were successful, we could probably look at a very significant reduction in spending, not just the increased jobs and entrepreneurship because of hemp, but actually lower taxes eventually down the road if clemency is successful.
Yeah, there's two revenue models at play there. One is the hemp will generate revenue, obviously. It's a commodity. Mm-hmm. And Florida right now has a real problem with its water infrastructure, especially in South Florida. Mm-hmm. So we have an initiative, we call it Hemp for Water. The state is having trouble raising money to properly fix the water problem We've got the Army Corps of Engineers here in Florida that they're just not fixing it. We need to take control back from the federal government on that. So we have a program designed to use revenue from the hemp to help resolve that water problem rather than impose a new tax on the people to do it. The other thing is, as far as the prison population goes, it costs $17,338 per year to house an inmate in a Florida state prison.
So we're talking, so if we were to release a lot of those prisoners and then not have to pay those, you know, exorbitant fees in order to take people's rights away for no good reason, you know, a lot of these government shortfalls themselves might just kind of solve themselves.
Yeah, if we release just half of the victimless crimes, people serving time for victimless crimes, we'd save about $500 million a year.
That is, I mean, the it's, you know, we're talking half $1 billion is essentially being, you know, honestly, it's worse than being wasted. If it was just being wasted, it would be just being thrown in the trash. But in this case, we're saying it's being used for the worst purposes possible, to take away somebody's liberties for no good reason.
That really hurts. You know, as we, you and I sit here and have this conversation, there are folks caged up that are peaceful, kind, loving people. You know, those are the ones I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that belong in there for the public safety. Mm-hmm. But then it's hard to get employment. They've got a record. I also would like to remove that felony box from applications. Because if it says, have you ever been accused of a felony, and you check yes, chances are you're not getting hired.
So, and a lot of these felonies are just, you know, things that shouldn't even be crime. They shouldn't even be misdemeanors, let alone felonies.
Right, yeah, especially the position. We passed a bill in Florida that allows a very limited strain of cannabis to be reduced to an oil for treating seizures for children with intractable epilepsy.
Yeah, I want to talk actually about some of the medical applications right after this break.
Okay.
Right now we're talking with Bill Wolsifer, Libertarian for Attorney General in Florida. You can learn more about him at wolsiferforag.com. That's WOHLSIFER, the number 4, AG.com. To get in local get involved in local campaigns in your state, visit lp.org/states. You can choose to get active, meet great libertarians in your area, and learn ways that you can get involved. State and local races are vitally important to downsizing big government and improving safety, health, education, and reducing taxes. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Arvin Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. We're talking with Bill Wolsifer, libertarian running for Attorney General in Florida. You can learn more about him at wolsiferforag.com. Bill, one of the things that has really caught the public's eye right now is the police militarization that's going on, especially as it surrounds the war on drugs. What can the Attorney General in Florida do about that?
Well, the Attorney General is head of Florida's legal affairs. The state prosecutors around the state, across the state, do report to the Attorney General on a regular basis. And again, as a policymaker, there's control from the Attorney General's office down. The Attorney General also is over the statewide prosecutor. Mm-hmm. As Attorney General, I'm going to take that part very serious and intend to initiate a, let's call it a blue ribbon panel, to really study the risks, costs, and benefits of police militarization. I'm opposed to the civil forfeiture. It's way out of control from what it started to be. I think that could be curved back. I think we're really on a very dangerous, slippery slope with the civil police becoming so militarized.
Let's talk about both those issues. First of all, you know, when we talk about civil forfeiture in Florida, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, confiscation of private property, if it's related to a crime, and in some cases, even if it's just suspected of being related to crime. And this started out when with the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency would confiscate the contraband in a part of the war on drugs. And then it expanded to, if the contraband wasn't available, they would seize other property for, you know, value equivalent and start taking vehicles, homes, real property to offset what apparently was allegedly earned illegally.
Did you say that this is something that happens? Is this part of is this the result when somebody is found guilty of you know the non crime, or is this something that happens before?
It can happen before, even before adjudication.
So somebody could be not even found guilty and have their property, you know, their cars or real property, confiscated by the government in Florida.
That's right. And the connection here is all the state needs to do is just call a DEA agent just for some cursory opinion, and then they're deemed to be working with them, and then the state has the right to share as well. And this is, I point this out because this is what's leading to the militarization, because you know, a lot of the tanks and the excessive equipment is being purchased with money obtained from civil forfeitures and asset seizures.
So, okay, because I mean this is a shocking, you know, revelation, such a shocking idea. We're really talking about a situation where people not even yet found guilty, or maybe never found guilty, who knows, not even found guilty, having their property seized, and that property is then being spent by the state.
Well, the police departments can share in it. So it actually winds up, this money can wind up in local use, and to the point where the police departments are competing against each other to see who looks more like they're ready to invade a foreign nation with military equipment right here in our streets to use against American citizens and Florida citizens. So the escalation is, you know, there's that competitive element. You know, Americans are competitive people. When they get on something, they're good at it.
And so we really have police officers now with this kind of perverse set of incentives, and now with this heavy military equipment. And we're not just talking about, you know, an SUV or something. We're literally talking about a tank.
Right. Yeah, we have tanks here in Florida.
Wow.
But with the civil police have tanks. I know. So as Attorney General, that's something that I would, first of all, do an investigation on. Really, really get some statistics, really take a close look You know, maybe there are some benefits. There's certainly some risks. I know there's been deaths. There's been innocent people have been hurt. The no-knock raids, the SWAT team warrant serving, you know, serving a warrant with a SWAT team, it's out of control. And it's expensive.
And this is actually something that you then would not just be willing, but actually able to really make a pretty significant impact on if you were elected Attorney General.
Yes, Arvin, I think it's extremely important. I think that in my life, I've just seen this militarization escalate more and more and more. I mean, you see in the pictures with the Republican convention in Tampa, it looked like a war movie outside, even though there was no crime going on. At some point, that has got to end, and I think it's the time to really, really evaluate it here in Florida.
Now, but before we run out of time, I would like to at least briefly touch on one of the big issues right now, just all over the country, same-sex marriage. Is that something that the Attorney General in any way can influence?
Absolutely. The Attorney General, as was done in Virginia, Pennsylvania, I believe two other states, what the Attorney General essentially has done is where plaintiffs challenge the law, and they're using the decision in U.S. versus Windsor, the U.S. Supreme Court decision from October 2013, attorney generals are not defending it. They're simply conceding that the Windsor decision does control. And now, without that element of DOMA in place, the requirement that DOMA had, that a marriage is between a man and a woman, the state's bans are now unconstitutional. So some attorney generals are defending it. It's not a winning argument anymore. I wouldn't waste the court's time defending it. Now, no, from a social and religious position, that's entirely different. But I believe the
of course,
you know, the precedent from the Supreme Court is going to control, and it's just a matter of time until it's accepted. So our attorney general, of course, Pam Bondi, she's rigorously defending against it. There's a case down in Miami with four couples, plus Equality Florida, an organization, seeking to overturn the state's constitutional ban.
So the current attorney general is actually defending on the opposite side of you on this.
Oh, absolutely. On quite a few things, in fact.
but at least on this thing. So Floridans who are concerned about same-sex marriage, who really want to make sure that all Americans have the same rights to get married, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you want to marry someone of the same sex or of the opposite sex, most Americans want everybody to have that choice. You want everybody to have that choice, and you're going to be able to do that by basically just not defending, and by not defending the state's immoral and kind of ridiculous policy. And the current attorney general is the exact opposite of that. So anybody that's concerned about that should be voting clearly in this case for you and not for somebody else.
I thank you for that, because that's a very precise statement. Now, some people have a problem with that. They think the attorney general should defend no matter what. But that's not smart.
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay, we've been talking with Bill Wolsifer, Libertarian running for Attorney General in Florida. Bill, thank you for joining us today on the show.
Hey, thank you so much. It was fun.
You can visit his website at wolsiferforag.com. That's WOHLSIFER, the number 4, AG.com. The Libertarian Party and its candidates are working to cut government to improve safety, to cut government to improve education and health, to cut government and advance freedom. But we need your help. Please visit lp.org to see ways in which you can get involved, or facebook.com/libertarians to see how you can get involved with social media outreach. With your help, we can end the war on drugs, abolish counterproductive federal and state departments, cut taxes, and improve the economy. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.